Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I watch movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week, we will be reviewing 1995's House Guest. Okay, guys, 1995's House Guest. We're going to get to that. But before we get to that, I got some announcements to make. The I Watch This As an Adult podcast has an Instagram. You can go and follow it. It's I Watch This As an Adult. All one word. Go follow me on Instagram. I'm thinking about maybe starting a Facebook page for it also. Maybe a Facebook group. I don't know. Maybe you guys can give me some feedback on that. You know, if I should do that. Probably not doing MySpace. MySpace, like, that's the thing. I probably can't even remember my MySpace password if you put a gun to my head. You're like, you could put a gun to your head. You put a gun to my head and say, remember your MySpace password. I'll be like, just go ahead and pull the trigger. You know, just go do it, because I don't know. I think there was one time I tried to get back into my MySpace and I was just like, I can't remember my password for shit. You know, but so no MySpace for you MySpace users, because I can't even remember my own password. And also, if you want to help the podcast grow, you can go and support the podcast. You can go to my Anchor FM page. I Watch This As an Adult. And you can go and drop a little change in there to support the podcast, help the podcast grow. Whatever you want, a little bit goes a long way. Now let's get to the movie House Guest, shall we? I like to start off the podcast with how I saw this movie and how old I was when I saw this movie. I saw this movie on VHS. I saw this movie maybe 2 years after it came out, honestly. I did not see this in the theater. I saw this movie 2 years after it came out. I saw it on VHS. Because back in... I'm going to give you kids a little history lesson for you guys that are new. Or you guys that are from the new millennium. And you don't know how movies worked in the 90s and in the 80s and in the 70s. Really, before 2008 or some shit. But this is how movies work before that. A movie would come out. That movie would be in the theater. It would sometimes go to the dot. It would sometimes go to the $1 theater after that. So people can go see it for a cheaper price. I don't know if they still have $1 theaters. I used to go to $1 theaters a lot as a kid. That's how I saw a lot of movies. Then after it's done with the $1 theater, you gotta wait at least a year or 2 years for that movie to come out on VHS tape. And that's how it worked. It's not like now where the movie comes out 6 months from now. You know, on Blu-ray or DVD, or you can watch it on digital and it's on Netflix and all this stuff. You know, it didn't work like that back in the 90s, in the 80s and the 90s. It didn't work like that at all. You had to wait at least 2 years for that movie to come out on VHS tape. And when that movie, and even when that movie came on TV, it was a treat. It was a worldwide premiere of a movie just for it to be on NBC or Fox or whatever. It was... they don't even do that anymore, but that's how I saw this movie. I saw this movie 2 years later on VHS, so I had to be about 12. I think I saw this movie when I was 12, and I liked this movie as a kid. I really did. I watched it a lot. I wore that friggin' VHS tape out. I used to watch the hell out of House Guest, and the movie stars Sinbad. Sinbad, let me tell you the importance of Sinbad. Sinbad was one of the biggest comedians in the early to mid 90s. He was pretty much like the Kevin Hart of the early to mid 90s. He was, if you needed a black comedian to be in something, it was Sinbad. And you still had Eddie Murphy. Chris Rock hadn't found his spot yet. Dave Chappelle was far away from this. You know, but most of the time, if they needed a black comedian for something, they would either pick like Eddie Murphy or Sinbad, pretty much. And by this time, Eddie Murphy had gone on to do his own thing. You know, he was like, he was kind of trying to do his own thing. So, like, he wasn't really like that guy that you just put in a movie. It was, so they just got Sinbad instead. It was like, it was Sinbad's time, pretty much. Because there's always this thing, where it's like one black comedian at a time. You know, there's always one black comedian at a time. And Sinbad was, just happened to be that black comedian. He was, he was the Don of the early to mid 90s. He did a whole bunch of movies, did Necessary Roughness, he did House Guest. This is the movie we're talking about. First Kid, Jingle All the Way. You know, did a couple of movies. Did a couple of movies in the mid 90s. That was another movie he did. He played a cowboy, I remember. And I can't remember the name of it for nothing in the world. I like the movie. I remember seeing it when I was a kid. And I remember actually liking the movie. I thought it was a really good movie. I forgot the name of it too. But like, he played a cowboy. And this is real. This is not like the Shazam shit that everybody is talking about, where like they thought he played a genie or whatever. But this is real. There was a movie out. It had to come out around like the mid 90s, and he played a cowboy in it, and I can't remember the name of it. If you can remember the name of it, send me a voice message on Anchor and go and find the movie for me. Find out the name of that movie, because that might be a movie, that might be another movie I do on this podcast. Just, if you can, just send me, there's a voice message app on Anchor. You can go send me a voice message. Even if you want to send me a, if you want to send me voice messages for anything, just send the voice messages to me. I'll listen to them. I'll shout you guys out on the podcast. Most likely play them on the podcast too. But Sinbad did a lot of stuff in the early to mid 90s. He was on A Different World. He had, that's actually where he rose to prominence. That's where his, that was his claim to fame. He was on like about like 5 seasons of A Different World. And then he left to go pursue a movie career. And then he even had a talk show in the late 90s. It didn't last long. It lasted like 2 seasons. I think it was Vibe. He hosted the Vibe show. I wish I could find like old tape of that, of Sinbad. I don't even know if that show's on YouTube. Cause there was a thing in like the late 90s where they were trying to find the next Arsenio Hall. They tried Sinbad. They even tried Keenan Ivory Wayans. Neither of them worked out. I think both their shows lasted like 2 seasons. It didn't work out. They did not find the next Arsenio Hall. Hell, Arsenio Hall couldn't even be the next Arsenio Hall. But anyway, but dude accomplished a lot, I think, and that's just something. And he also served in the United States Air Force, so I want to thank him for his service for that also. But dude did a lot, and Sinbad is I think the guy's really underrated, and I think he deserves his props. So salute to you, Sinbad. But let's get to this movie. Sinbad plays Kevin Franklin. This guy, he's like an orphaned. He's right now, he's kind of like a hustler. When you get to him as an adult, he was an orphan as a kid. You get to him as an adult, he's a hustler. He's into all these get rich quick schemes. He's really trying hard to get rich doing nothing. So pretty much Kevin is a millennial. He's pretty much a millennial. He's like, you know, he just wants to get rich quick. He wants to do something that doesn't require a lot of work. So, but pretty much the first, I want to say like the first 20 minutes of this movie is pretty much just all set up and exposition. Just set up, exposition. There's a scene in here that's very, very reminiscent of a mid-90s, early 90s Black McDonald's commercial. It's kind of like that Kelvin commercial, like Kelvin got a job, you know, where like Sinbad goes and plays basketball with the other fellas in the hood, and he goes and plays basketball with them, and one of the guys, this guy is a McDonald's actor like a motherfucker right here. He's a McDonald's actor like a motherfucker. He just like, hey Kevin, you got that $1 million yet? And he's like, I'm working on it. He's like, he got a whole bunch of tapes at the crib saying he gonna make $1 million. Yo, let's go to Mickey D's, y'all. You know, that's all he had to end it with, to say, let's go to Mickey D's. And they would have played this fucking song. You deserve a break today. They would have played that shit. I don't know how fucking on key I was. I'll probably hear later. But anyway, Kevin's into all these get-rich-quick schemes. And somehow, he owes the mob $50,000. I almost said million, but he owes them $50,000. And they show up to his door, and they want their money, or they're going to put a bullet in his brain. But really, really, the mob and the $50,000, they're really like just a MacGuffin for him to leave town and like meet the family that we see later on in the movie. But so he pretty much tries to skip town. He tries to skip town and leave because the mob said, if you don't give us our $50,000, we're going to put a bullet in your brain, pretty much. And somehow the two mobster guys find him at the airport. I don't know how they did that. They're like really good scouters for some reason. I didn't know the mob had such good scouters where they could just find people randomly in the airport or find out that people are skipping town in the airport. I don't know how it happened, but they catch Kevin. They got Kevin. Looks like he's done for. And Kevin does one of his pretty much like quick talking, I'm trying to get out of this fast moves. He sees like a group of women, and he just says, Denzel Washington's in the airport, and they all scream and stuff, and he gets away through the crowd of women. And one thing I gotta say about this movie is that Sinbad does a lot of ADR in this film. He does a lot of ADR in this film. Cause there's parts in this movie. ADR is, for people that don't know what ADR is, ADR is voiceover work. But Sinbad does a lot of that in this movie, because there's parts in this movie where Sinbad's talking, but you don't see his mouth move. He's talking and you don't see his mouth move. And he's like, wait, he said something, but I didn't see his mouth move. What's going on here? But anyway, he gets away. He runs into Gary Young, played by Phil Hartman. And Gary's there with his kid, with two of his two youngest kids. They're there waiting for Gary's old friend, Derek Bond. The real Derek Bond is played by a terrific character actor named Ron Glass, who a lot of you may know from Firefly. He's the only black guy on Firefly, I think. I don't know. I haven't watched a lot of Firefly. I'm sorry. I love Nathan Fillion also, but haven't gotten the chance to watch a lot of Firefly. Gina Torres is on there too, and I love me some Gina Torres. But it's got all the right people on there, and I haven't gotten a chance to watch a lot of Firefly. I don't know what it is. I gotta sit down and watch like just like maybe like a whole season of Firefly, because I've just seen Firefly here and there. You know, that's all I've seen it. Sorry, you could take my geek card away. I don't know, but for that. But anyway, Kevin steals Derek's identity. Derek is a dentist, and he steals Kevin steals Derek's identity, and he just walks up, like, just he just casually walks up on Gary and just says, "Hey," which I don't know how that happened. I don't know why Gary doesn't have a picture of Derek. I don't know why. I'm guessing they spoke on the phone beforehand. You would kind of think he would know what his voice sounds like, and because the real Derek Bond's voice is very low. He has a very baritone voice, and Kevin Franklin's voice is very high pitched. It's on a higher octave, and you would think he would know that this is not Derek Bond, but Gary's only description, I do like this, I like this, like, Gary's only description of Derek is, because, like, when his kids ask, he's like, "Who are we looking for, Dad?" And he says, "I don't know." He's like, he's tall and he's black, so basically, any random tall black guy could have walked up on Gary and said he was Derek Bond. Basically. And Sinbad just happened to be that guy. But all that aside, the minute that they're on screen together, Sinbad and Phil Hartman have a ton of chemistry. They have a ton of chemistry together. It's just off the charts. These guys, I really wish that they really got the chance to do a lot more movies together, because I would have been down for a Sinbad, Phil Hartman pairing, a movie, like a buddy cop film. If they did like a buddy cop movie, if they did a movie with, like, it's like two dads trying to protect their daughter's virginity, you know, something like that. I would have been down for that. I think that would have been really hilarious had they got the chance to do something like that. You know, like, I really wish that they actually got the chance to do more movies together. I know they did Jingle All the Way together, but they weren't really in the same scenes together, you know, like, so that one really doesn't count. So this is like the only movie that they did where they're together, like, multiple times in scenes. Really wish they got the chance to do more stuff together. But so Kevin finds Gary. Gary just takes him with him because he thinks he's Derek Bond. And they go to Gary's town. And Kevin finds out that he's supposed to be a speaker at this school. I don't know what type of school this is. They never tell you what type of school this is supposed to be at all. They don't tell you if it's like a high school. They don't tell you if it's supposed to be a preparatory school. They don't tell you if it's supposed to be a college. They don't tell you if this is the school for gifted youngsters. They don't tell you anything about this school. It's just a school. That's all you know. But I like the scene where Kevin is up on stage and he's doing the slideshow and all this stuff. That scene's kind of funny. And then the guy calls him out. And the guy calls him out because he kind of sees through his bullshit. And he's like, "Yo, man, you're not the real Derek Bond," kind of. He doesn't say it, but he doesn't get the chance to say it because, like, Kevin shuts him down. And he's just like, "Hey, you don't have a woman. Why are you judging me?" You know, it's kind of a funny scene. It's kind of a funny scene. But then we move on. We see Gary's oldest daughter, Brooke. And Brooke is a smoke show. I'm not going to lie. Brooke's hot. Personally, I got a thing for goth chicks. I don't know. It's something that I like personally. But, like, so even then, I kind of think it started with her when I was a kid. I was like, "Oh, wow, I think I like goth chicks." You know, so, and kind of got one now. So, but anyway. But she has, like, this fake Vanilla Ice boyfriend, right? And I don't know how they got together, because goths and hip-hop people don't really hang out with each other. You know, I don't know if they were just like, hey, they're both kids, just put them together. You know, the teenagers, just put them together. It doesn't matter what type of music they like, but it really doesn't work like that. Sorry, it just really doesn't work like that. I don't know if that was just casting, if that was the writers, or they just don't know teenagers. I'm kind of glad that they're kind of a little bit more accurate with teenage cliques nowadays, you know. And from what I'm hearing, they're probably not even accurate with that. It's just generational, pretty much. And like, if you're a generation before that, you pretty much don't know. That's that. But I like this character. I like Steve, ST3. I like ST3. I wish that this kid went on to do more, because I think he's like one of the best side characters in this whole movie. There's a lot of forgettable side characters in this movie. They really are. And because you even got what's his name? The guy from Ferris Bueller. He's the principal in Ferris Bueller. He's in this movie and kind of forgettable. I don't know what his purpose is in this movie. Kind of forgettable, but I like this kid. He was played by an actor named Kevin Jordan. I looked him up, and I don't know what else he did after this. I really don't. I tried to look him up and couldn't find anything. I think this ST3 was it for him, and it's kind of sad, because I think he was kind of a good actor. I don't know. But we leave them, we go back to his house, we go back to Gary's house. Gary has two other kids named Jason and Sarah. They're kind of forgettable because they're little. I mean, like, Sinbad has kind of one scene with Jason that kind of stands out, but that's it. Sarah is totally forgettable. She's just the cute little kid she's supposed to be. That was a big thing in the 90s. Let's get a cute kid. That was a big thing for a while, though, where it's like, let's just get a cute kid, you know? And she's a terrible actor. She's a terrible actor. I think she's supposed to be 5, but not that strong of an actress. She really is nothing in this movie. Not to insult the kid, but she really doesn't really lend anything to the movie, really. But also Gary has like these like anger fits that really come out of nowhere. Like, they really come out of nowhere, and they're just like outbursts. Where's this coming from? It's like, where's this coming from? Anyway, Kevin finds out that Derek's a vegetarian. They try to make like a whole like running gag out of that, and it doesn't really work for me. It really doesn't. It doesn't work for me. It's just him trying to sneak a burger or sneak some type of unhealthy food. And it doesn't work for me. I don't find it funny. I really don't. I don't find it funny. There is something in here that I'm thinking about it right now, and I'm about to laugh. But Phil Hartman's character, when he's talking about the vegetarian stuff, there's a turkey, and Phil Hartman takes the turkey, and he takes like a little sliver of the turkey. He eats the piece of turkey ever so seductively. Like, ever so seductively. I couldn't even get it out because it's so funny. And I kid you not, I laughed for a good 2 minutes. I had to pause the movie because that was so funny. I don't know if that was supposed to be intentionally funny or unintentionally funny, but it was funny. Just the way he kind of looked into the camera. And he took the piece of turkey and he just bit into it just so seductively, and it's like he's kind of having like an orgasm. It's kind of like he's having an orgasm eating it. Funny shit. Funny shit. But then we run into Gary's wife, Emily, who is a she's pretty much a workaholic, and Gary kind of resents that a little bit, and like they kind of get into it, you know, a little bit throughout this movie. And the Gary and his wife argument scenes are just kind of eerie, you know, especially when you find out in hindsight what happens to Phil Hartman, like, what, 2 years later after this movie. It just kind of mirrors Phil Hartman's personal life with his wife and the tragedy that happened 2 years later between him and his wife. You know, so like watching those scenes are kind of disturbing, because you know in hindsight what happens to Phil Hartman 2 years later between him and his wife. You know, and it's like a real, real sad, it's real sad state of affairs that happened there. But anyway, I hate to bring the fucking podcast down with that. But there's a weird Sinbad pillow montage. I could do without. I was like, why? But he calls himself Pillow Man for some reason. It says Pillow Man to the rescue, and I think that was ADR too. I think that whole scene was ADR because I don't think he said anything. I think it was all voiceover. Like I said, like there's scenes in here where like he's talking and his mouth doesn't move. I don't know what that was about. But anyway, there's a party scene. I think this scene was just supposed to be Sinbad just riffing and improvising for about a good, I want to say this scene is like a good old 25 to 30 minutes. I want to say the scene is, it's like this scene takes up a good 25-30 minutes. There's a bunch of just like forgettable characters in this scene. There's a like a French teacher. There's a chick with some messed up teeth. There's a uptight black woman. Like, I think they try to make something funny out of that. I don't know. I didn't find it funny because there's an uptight black woman at the party, and Kevin's just like hitting on her, and she's by like the ice cream machine or something, and she's trying to get ice cream out, and Kevin goes over, he's like, can I help you? And he like messes with the ice cream machine, and he like he breaks the ice cream machine, and like a whole bunch of like white ice cream comes out of it and just hits her in the face and all over her body and all over her dress and shit. And I'm like, what's that supposed to mean? Is that supposed to be a sexual innuendo? You know, I don't know. But later on in the friggin' scene, everybody gets drunk. There's kids present for some reason. I don't know if those kids got drunk. They play Brick House from the Commodores. There's this weird dude at the party who likes to drink wine. He's like a wine tester or something, and he's just talking about wine like a woman and all this. And like Kevin even said, "Oh wow, sounds like you need a woman," and all this stuff, you know. But yeah, that happened. Like I said, like yeah, like there's like a Gary and his wife arguing scene after that. There's a couple of Gary and his wife arguing scenes after that. And like Sinbad's kind of looking at this family like, wow, this family is fucked up. Like this family is low-key fucked up. And he's just like, I gotta get the fuck up out of here. You know what I'm saying? And well, we go back and the mob guys show up after like 30 minutes of not being on screen. They show up to Kevin has this friend named Larry. He's a tattoo artist. Larry is fucking useless. He's really useless. Larry shows up maybe 3 times in this movie. Maybe 3 times. He doesn't add anything. Larry doesn't add anything to this movie at all. There's kind of a little funny scene between him and Sinbad, where like Sinbad does the old lady, like he pretends to be Larry's mom to throw off the mob and all this stuff. That scene's kind of funny. I like that scene, but other than that, Larry is useless. We don't need Larry. So Kevin's on the run for like 5 minutes. Runs into the mob again. The mob tries to run him over. They try to run him over. One thing I gotta say, I'm like, Sinbad stuntman needs one hell of a raise, because they had Sinbad stuntman working overtime in this film. He's just working overtime. Like, there's a lot of physical comedy in this movie, and I'm like, Sinbad is not really a physical comedy guy. He's never been a physical comedy guy. He's pretty much just been like a flat foot stand-up comedian. You know, he talks about his life, he talks about his kids, he talks about what life was back in the day, like the 70s was the shit and all this stuff, and talks about that's pretty much what he does. And he's like, that's pretty much what he does. He's like, oh, these kids today don't know. These kids. He's like, you know, that's pretty much it. He's kind of like Bill Cosby. Without the sexual assault cases. But that we know of. But anyway. Man, dude. I was like, that would break my heart, man. That's one thing that would break my heart. It's like if Sinbad had sexual assault cases. I was like, there's no hope. Anybody could get it. I don't know, man. But anyway, Sinbad stuntman needs they need to get that dude a raise. They still need to get that dude a raise to this day. This movie came out like what, like 25 years ago. Like, hashtag give Sinbad stuntman a raise. Make it happen. I don't know the dude's name, but it's some tall, light-skinned dude. I don't know, But anyway, he's running from the mob. He runs into Phil Hartman's character, Gary. Gary tells him to get in the car. Gary takes Sinbad to the country club. And they kind of have like kind of a montage where like they're getting Sinbad dressed. It's a montage. It is what it is. All I know is that Phil Hartman and Sinbad have chemistry in it. It's like you can tell that they genuinely liked each other. You know, you could tell that those two guys just got along. You know, you could just tell. You could tell, it wasn't just a work thing. You know how two actors, that's actually a movie I'm probably going to do down the line where you could just tell, like, straight up, like, this is a working relationship. And it's something that's coming up, like, pretty soon, on my list of movies that I want to do on this podcast. And this is a movie that even when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I got to watch it again. I haven't watched it in a while, but you'll find out what the movie is. But with these guys, I don't feel that. I don't feel like, oh, I'm just working with this guy for the check. You know, like I don't feel like these guys were like, oh, we're buddy-buddy on screen. And then they all cut and they just walk to each other's trailers. I don't feel that from these guys. I feel like they generally had chemistry together, and they generally hung out and joked around with each other and stuff like that. I just feel that way about those guys. But anyway, they're on the they're in the country club. Gary introduces Kevin to his super racist boss. Gary's boss is super racist. Because this is something I didn't even notice when I was a kid. I didn't notice this when I was a kid. There's a Mexican guy at the bar. They're at the bar. There's a Mexican guy behind the bar. And he calls the guy Paco. He calls the guy Paco, and then he calls him Pancho. And he says, give us some more margaritas over here. And he just flat out just calls this dude like a racial slur. He calls Sinbad like an undertone racial slur. He calls Sinbad boy, and he's like very condescending to him. He's like, slap me five there, brother, and all this shit. And then he has the Hispanic guy carry the golf clubs and the margaritas, and he says, get your eyes off them senoritas, Paco. I was like, this dude is super racist. That's all I had to say about him. I was like, this guy is racist as fuck. But anyway, the dirty balls joke is still funny. I like that joke between Sinbad's character and the guy. What's the actor's name? He's the guy from Ferris Bueller. He played the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That guy. I like that joke. That joke's still funny to me. I didn't think it would still be funny to me as an adult, but it is. But he's like, you wash your balls? My balls. I like to get my balls as clean as I can and all this. Funny joke. If you haven't seen it, if you haven't seen it in a while, go see it. Still funny. So the mob is at the country club as well. The mob starts chasing Kevin. Kevin comes up with this thing called speed golf. So they have to do like speed golf. It's pretty much him just fucking running from the mob. This whole thing. Gary's super racist boss falls out of the golf cart, chips his tooth. This is where Kevin has to be Derek Bond and be a dentist. So they do that whole thing. And this is what I want to know. This is something that confused me. I don't think it confused me as a kid because I didn't even notice, but it confuses me now as an adult. Is Derek Bond supposed to be like this like super world renowned dentist? Because they talk about him in this whole scene like he's supposed to be like world renowned dentist, like the best dentist in the world type of thing. And if he is supposed to be like a world renowned dentist, how do these people not know that this is not him? There's got to be newspaper clippings. There's got to be interviews with him. Cause even I think like his old professor shows up and he doesn't recognize him. He doesn't recognize him. I had a run-in like maybe like 2-3 years ago with my friggin' ninth grade algebra teacher. And she still remembered who the fuck I was. You know, she still saw me and recognized my face and all this stuff. This guy doesn't know that this is not his former student. They really make these people look dumb in this scene for the sake of the movie, don't they? they really do, but he pulls it off somehow. But that's that. And just the last half of the film kind of dull. I'm sorry. It's kind of dull. Towards the last half of the movie, they kind of turn Sinbad into like this magical black man who fixes white people's problems. You know, they kind of do turn him into that. Like, cause he's fixing the daughter's problems. He goes and handles the boyfriend. He gives the little boy confidence to play basketball. The little girl is useless. So, like, they don't do anything. He doesn't do anything with her. It'll just be more of a father than her real father is. I don't know how that is. I don't know what that's about. But, and then he just helps Gary and Emily save their marriage and all this stuff. And it's just, you know, just magical black man stuff. Like, I'm gonna fix all the white people's problems, but I still got some problems of my own, you know, type of thing. But, so the real Derek Bond shows up towards the end of this movie. And he is an asshole. He is a fucking dickhead. Even like there's a scene where like he's in his office and he's kind of a dick to his assistant or secretary. And this is when he finds out about And this is what I'm talking about right here. This is what I'm talking about right here. You got Sinbad's character, Kevin Franklin, in the newspaper. Because Derek Bond sees Kevin Franklin in the newspaper with his name on it. And he's like, yo, this is not me. And like, there's just a lot. It was just a lot of convenience in the plot, you know, to complete convenience to where this is where it should be. This is where it should be. We're going to put this in here for the plot, just conveniently. But I was just saying, like, what? How come they didn't do this in the first place? How come they didn't look in fucking newspaper? I know, like, the internet didn't really exist at this time. It's 95. You know, I think Windows 95 just came out, but so like you didn't really have the internet like that yet. But this guy saw a newspaper clipping and he's like, yo, this ain't me, you know. And he goes and finds out that this guy has been pretty much masquerading as him. And the family finds out that Kevin Franklin's not the real Derek Bond. But since the real Derek Bond is such an asshole, that makes Kevin lying to them forgivable, pretty much. That makes it forgivable for them, so they forgive Kevin. Kevin gets out of owing the mob money. He has his lottery ticket that he won, and so he just gives the lottery ticket to the mobsters, so they leave him alone. And he goes on to be like some kind of like successful writer, and that's pretty much House Guest. That's pretty much the movie. I kind of do got a hot take. One hot take. I always got a hot take. I had a hot take about Michael Jordan last week. I got a hot take about Phil Hartman's character Gary this week. I'm sorry. This is the hot take of the episode. I think that Gary's character was secretly gay. Hear me out. I got nothing against gay people. Just to put that out there. But I think his character was secretly gay because there were certain things in this movie where he pushed the boundaries. You know, he pushed the boundaries, smacking Kevin on his ass a lot, and just all up in Kevin's personal space when he thinks it's Derek Bond. And like, how are you? And this is the thing. This is a guy that you haven't seen in 25 years. You haven't seen him since he's 12 years old. You're like, how are you that friendly with him? And this is a dude that you don't know. This is a dude that you don't know. How are you that friendly with him? You know, it's just like, he's like he had an infatuation with Derek Bond. Like an unhealthy infatuation with Derek Bond. And that's why I kind of say that I think Gary's character was secretly gay. You know, that's my hot take. That's my hot take of the day. But anyway, I still like the movie. If I had to give the movie a rating out of 1 out of 5, I would give it a 3. It's not offensive. You know, it's a fun movie you can watch with your family. You know, that's pretty much it. That's all I got for House Guest. Join me next week where I talk about another movie. It'll be a surprise. Like I said, go follow me on Instagram if you want to be update on what I'm doing. I watch this as an adult, one word. And also, if you want to help the podcast grow, hit that support the podcast button on Anchor FM. That's all I got. Till next time. See you later. Peace.